The Preds are back on the ice for the 2022-2023 season, and this is the Preds season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name's Max Herz, alongside the Preds radio booth, Hal Gill and Pete Weber. Everybody present and accounted for. Let's talk some hockey for the next 2 hours. What do you say, gents?
We have to stop after 2 hours?
Let's do it.
Let's go all night.
I'm ready for the season. We're going to be talking hockey
until a deep run into June.
Until the Swiss chocolate runs out next week.
And no better way to start than with the head coach of the Nashville Predators, John Hines, who is on the line with us. Coach Hines, thanks for joining us, and thanks for starting off the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back and work with you for the first time. And obviously, Hal and Pete, awesome. Doing an awesome job. Always love working with those guys, so it's great to kick it off here.
What has camp been like so far through a couple of preseason games and a good week? You guys doing a lot in a short amount of time before you take off on Friday.
Yeah, camp's been really good. You know, I think I give the players a lot of credit. We spoke with them in our opening meeting and just talked about, because it's a little bit of a different camp with the Global Series coming through, was just we had to have a high sense of urgency right away in camp, and just the importance of not kind of dipping our toe in the water, but really coming in ready to compete, making sure that, practices are very, very intense, and our inter-squad scrimmage games where we were going to play the games the right way, not kind of get into it and get a feel for a game, but try to as best as they can to be able to compete and play the right way. And, you know, we think the players have done a great job. I think the attitude, the work ethic, the commitment, getting to the identity we want to play with. You know, we can set it up as coaches, but it has to be driven from the players, and they've done a really, really good job so far.
And as you prepare for all this, Coach, it sounds almost like we're going back to putting things down in pencil because of the difficult times we've had. You know, first of all, and I'm sorry for all the people in Florida with the storm going through down there, but you weren't sure until, you know, relatively recently you were going to have opponents to come in here, as it turns out, Thursday and Friday night.
Yeah, obviously it's a Category 4, so obviously
yes.
the hurricane down in Tampa is not great. So like you said, hopefully everything works out for the residents there. But yeah, things, you know what, it's the NHL. Every day you come in, there's a new challenge or something that kind of comes across your plate where you have to be able to read and react and have a plan B. So I think we're able to do that. And you know what, it's a little bit of a benefit for us just in the sense that we don't have to travel and we have some more home games, and it actually allowed us, with how competitive the camp has been, to give some guys some different looks that we may not have had if we had to go to town.
When you look at this team, obviously adding Niederreiter and adding McDonough was kind of the big changes in the offseason. What have you thought of them so far? They seem to fit in so well, especially, you know, you have Ekholm playing on the right side with McDonough. What have you been your thoughts on those two guys and how they fit in with the team?
Yeah, you know, as far as Ryan McDonough coming in, you know, he's been as advertised. I think number one, just as the, you know, a former captain, he's obviously come from a great program in Tampa, a winning program, just who he is as a guy. He's got great presence. He's good to talk to, leads by example. He's really, really a big, fit, strong guy and a really true pro in every sense of the word. And then I think when you watch him on the ice, you know, we were talking about it actually today, just as coaches, that we did a special team scrimmage and just his impact on the penalty kill of, and yeah. You know, I think if you all watched him play in, against Florida, he just, you know, knows how to play the game. He just plays the game the right way. Very smart positionally. I think he's going to have a great impact for our team on and off the ice. And as far as Nino, you know, Nino's come in too. He's got a great personality. He obviously knows and has played with some of the guys in the team, and Granlin, Johansson, and Jost. But he's a great personality. He's come in. He's really coachable. Gets along with the guys, and his skill set, the way that we want to play, and I think what we need in our top six, guy that gets to the grade A area, scores goals. He's hard on pucks, smart player. And he can play in tough environments, and that's what we like about both those guys.
Preds head coach John Hines is our guest here on the Preds season preview show, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Two new exciting pieces. Philip Forsberg signs an 8-year contract to stay here, and he's one of three players who had all-world seasons last year. Roman Josi, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg. Really the three best seasons from skaters in franchise history. How have you seen your three best players follow up what they did last year so far here in 2022-23?
They've been great, and that's what's the most encouraging thing, you know, I think from our perspective is that those guys all had a mindset going into last year. I think a commitment level and a communication level with the coaching staff of expectations that we have for them, but also expectations that they have from us. And it's been a really good fit. And one of the things we talked about in the offseason is, you know, we all have to get 1%, 2% better, coaches, the players. And, you know, those guys have come back, great attitudes, really fit. We asked them coming into camp to be drivers of how we want to be able to play and how we want to be able to work. And, you know, when you have guys that play the most minutes and guys that are core guys, part of your leadership group, when they're leading in the work ethic department, in the commitment department, in the attitude department, you know, that's what you need to have a strong culture and a good team. So really proud of those guys so far.
Out of the youngsters, Coach, how did you view Yusso Parsonen?
Parsons had a very good camp. I mean, when you look at him, he's got great size. He's great strength. Very smart player. Good offensive instinct. Plays a game that is mature for a guy that's just come over. But he's had an excellent camp. I mean, he's a guy that's really put himself in the conversation day in and day out between the coaches and scouts and management, and it's great to see. He's a tremendous player, great kid, and you know he's making a hard push, and I have no doubt he's going to make it harder on us tomorrow.
is there anyone else that has stood out? I seemed, you know, looking down the lineup, there's a lot of young guys that are right there on the cusp that played really well. Is there anyone that stood out that maybe we didn't take notice of?
You know, I think that, I think a lot of guys have had some strong camps, but I think when you look at Parsons, the younger player, that's really, really, really had a great camp. I think when you look even at Cody Glass, you know, Cody's come in and kind of had an up and down last year with us. He's come back stronger, faster. I think when you look at him the other night, we gave him a chance to play with Forsberg and Duchene, and you could see, you know, from a mindset wise, he can think the game offensively like those guys. I think he's come in and had a strong camp and made a case for himself for sure. I could probably go on and on with a lot of guys. I mean, we've been happy with our veteran core guys.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I think there's a really good, probably I don't want to say any names because we have these major meetings and these guys are like, we're talking about all of them who could be on a team, and we're going to have to make some really, really hard decisions.
All right. The hard decision for me, you know, you guys are heading over to Europe. I did that trip when I was with Pittsburgh. We went over to Stockholm. We had a great time, and it was a team bonding thing. When you're looking at the team, how much of it is, hey, guys, we got to dial it in and we got to be ready for the season? And how much is it just, hey, guys, let's get to know each other. We're going through a different experience, a different camp. There's a lot of excitement around it, especially going to Switzerland where Josi and Niederreiter are from. How much of that do you get excited for the bonding? And how much do you worry about, you know, hey, we got to stick to business as usual?
Yeah, it's always the... That's always the challenge, isn't it, coach and the players? But you know what, Hal? I had the opportunity to do the same trip in New Jersey. We went to Bern with it was the year we had Nico Hischier, and then we actually played in Copenhagen, Sweden. But it's a great trip. I think there's so many positives to it. Just as you said, the training camp's different. It's a new experience for a lot of guys. An opportunity to play in Europe for European players. You're going to two beautiful cities. So I think it's really the combination of, and I think, as you said, early in the year, to be able to go on a road trip like that in those environments, team bonding is so critical this time of year, and it just sets it up for natural times where guys can go to dinner. Guys are going to probably hang out more together because they're in a new environment and they're not, you know, they're not in their own countries. So I think there's going to be some time to burn where we can have, you know, some downtime and guys can get together. And also we have a day off in Bern where, you know, we're really planning on guys being able to spend some time together away from the rink, enjoy the city and enjoy the experience. I think that brings energy to the team. And then when it's time to work, we got to work, you know, when we get into game time, two nights before a game, we got to make sure we're dialed in. But I think it is really important that we enjoy the experience together as a group, but also make sure we're ready to work at the times we need to work.
Preds coach John Hines is with us. And last question for you, John. Because of that trip to Europe, you guys get to keep four extra players from camp when cuts are initially made after Friday. How does that figure into your guys' process through these next two games, deciding who gets to go? And do you guys try to use those spots maybe differently than you would on a normal roster?
Well, I think some of it is, those are some of the decisions that have really become tough for us just because we feel like there's a lot of guys deserving of it. But I think, you know, part of it is really then trying to dissect. I think, as Hal said before, it is a little bit team building where, you know, we get to bring 27 players and maybe, you know, not every player that's going to go on the trip is going to play in the San Jose games, but I think it's also differentiating, okay, who do we see that are potential guys that may stay with us, potential guys that may go to Milwaukee, but have positioned themselves for opportunities for call-ups that we feel would be part of our team and try to have those, get to know those players better, get them to feel comfortable around the team. And, you know, I think when that happens, when guys go up and down, you know, they're able to perform better because they're part of the group. They know people. They have some relationships. So we're trying to weigh all those options of who exactly to take. But we're certainly going to try to take advantage of bringing the max amount of players that we can to Europe.
John, thanks so much for doing this tonight. And we will see you at home at the rink tomorrow.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Heinze.
Thank you, Coach.
That is Preds head coach John Hines leading us off right here on the 2022-2023 Preds season preview show. We will also have David Poyle joining us in a little over 15 minutes at 6:30. So star-studded cast tonight. Pete Weber's here. Hal Gill is here talking Preds hockey from 6 to 8. And we've also got Preds insiders with birthday boy Robbie Stanley coming up from 8 to 9
right.
As well.
And we have maybe a little bit of controversy to talk about. And I know it's been brought up on our broadcast already. But, Hal, at some point you have to tell us how you feel seeing somebody in a Predators uniform number 75.
That's a tough one. Yeah. I'm just surprised it hasn't been retired yet. What are you laughing at? Lots to go over. Lots of emotions that I have to go through.
Yeah, we got to help you work through those. Okay.
Yusso Parsonen has stolen Hal Gill's number, but he supports him.
He didn't get me a Rolex or anything. Aren't you supposed to do that?
Yes.
It'll come in time.
Or at least a $10,000 meal. Yeah.
We'll take a break, come back, talk about what John Hines said, what training camp has been like so far. Keep talking Preds. This is the season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Preds season preview show here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz, Hal Gill, Pete Weber with you for the next 2 hours previewing the hockey season. Two home preseason games coming up, including one tomorrow night that we weren't expecting.
Right. It did not appear on your schedule.
Lightning are not going to play at home because of weather, so the Preds happy to welcome them in for back-to-back nights now, but hope to see you at Bridgestone Arena.
That works out well, yeah. Right? They get out of town. They can come up.
Which they needed to do,
obviously. Got some refuge here in Nashville, and we still get to play the game.
I spoke with radio voice Dave Mishkin midday today of the Lightning, and he wasn't able to get to the plane to get out of town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he may be doing a remote broadcast from his home.
Wow.
Looking at NHL TV.
Wow.
Riding it out.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, should be fun to have them here. Certainly hope everyone's okay.
Yes.
On the Florida Gulf Coast and some stunning images today, but the hockey world supportive of the Lightning, as you'd expect, and accommodating their schedule changes in a time of year where you're hoping to build consistency. So they will be up here for at least a couple days, and we'll get to see them twice. We'll get to see pretty much everybody on that roster, too.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, it's amazing how the league has gotten to the point with COVID and everything. They've learned how to be versatile.
Yep.
They've learned how to be flexible to deal with different situations. Yep. In the past, I worked with some people that would have just gone ballistic. I mean, absolutely ballistic. And probably Hal has, too.
I know some people that will lose it.
Oh, we talked to John Hines, and he talked at the end about roster construction.
Yep.
You get to bring 27 players. Three of them will be goalies, 24 skaters instead of 24 including your goalies, mm-hmm. or 23 on your normal right. roster. So those really open up some potential spots for the Europe trip to bring some guys who you'll see later in the season.
It does that, and it also, in a way, Hal, on the other side of that, the guys that might not get that much playing time all of a sudden get much more by going to the Milwaukee camp.
Yeah, that's right. It works different in so many ways. But I think when they're for the brass, for David Poile and his staff, they're sitting up there looking, and he said it the other day, right? Pete and I were talking to him, and he said, there used to be bad players that we'd have to have in camp to fill spots, and there's no bad players.
Right.
And so the more and more you look at these guys, the more you go, I could fit him in here, and you can kill yourself thinking about it and trying to break it down and who's going to be here and who's not. So I think, looking at the camp, it may be, like you said, send guys to Milwaukee, let them work on their game. Don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. You have a team. And just looking up and down the lineup quick, you have guys like Tomasino, Cody Glass, Ellie Tolvanen. They're going to get a chance. You know, they're going to be here. They're going to get a chance. So give them that chance. And as much as Parson and maybe looks good and maybe you keep them around, there's other guys that look good as well. And maybe you keep them around. But I feel like it makes the decision a little easier. Hey, we got to cut numbers quick. And it also, players know that.
Yes.
Those young kids know that cuts need to be done quick. So it's not on you. You could have had a great camp and you were cut quick. That doesn't mean you're out of the mix. You know, I think sometimes you look at, I didn't make it through camp. I'm not on the team. So I'm out of the mix. And this, I think, kind of sends a message like, hey, we got a quick look at you. We liked what we saw. We're going to see more of you, but it's not going to be here.
Hal, what is it like to be in a camp on a team that has added and is on the way up, has added Ryan McDonagh, has added Nino Niederreiter?
Yeah, it's it's tough. Well, I was on a team that added Seth Jones, and I was like, this is exciting. We're adding Seth Jones, and then I got bought out. So I think, you get excited about having new players, but everyone wants to be on the team. Everyone wants to be an NHL player. So there's a lot of young kids. You know, you say, okay, maybe I can try to edge out, someone and play on this defensive squad. And then you see McDonagh signs and you go, oh, that's yeah. going to hurt my chances. And so, that's just the nature of the game. You know, that happens and it's a tough pill to swallow. There's a bunch of young guys that, yeah, you don't want to say that they're rooting for someone to fail, but, you know, hoping that there's an injury and they get a chance or hoping that, someone gets traded so they can move up yep. and get a chance. It's kind of you're cheering for your team, but also hoping that you can somehow be a part of that team.
And here you have the situation, too. You've got three veterans who have yet to play. It sounds strange to say it, but in a preseason game. And not that they need to. UC Saros, Mikhail Gromland, and Roman Josi.
Yeah. Yeah, give those guys some rest. If you look at each one of those guys, each one of them has been completely overworked, right? Roman
yes.
Josi plays way too many minutes for way too. It does way too much. He's all over the ice. UC Saros played way too many games last year.
Yes.
And he can handle that load. But if you have a chance to get him a rest, then I think going through practices, gearing up that way, of course, with Juice working with Pekka.
Yeah.
You know, not a bad guy to be working with. They just back to old days where they're working with each other, trying to get better. I don't think he needs those preseason games and to go out there. Just let him rest up and give spot him in so he can get into game shape. But, Mikhail Gronlund, I mean, that guy is a workhorse.
Yes.
He plays in all positions, all scenarios. So give those guys a break. I see nothing wrong with that. And then you're looking at other guys that are trying to catch up to the train and get on this team.
What did you guys think of Yaroslav Askarov?
How fun was he to watch?
Yeah.
I mean, if you like entertainment.
It's the goalie for you.
He's jumping around. He's aggressive on his angles. I was kind of laughing because he does things a different way. You know, and I did talk to Pekka a little bit to get his thoughts, and he's just such an athlete. You know, he's got a lot to learn. He's got to learn to be a little more compact and learn the technical side of it. But you can't teach athleticism, and you can see it the first game. He's got a ton of that. He's got a little flair. He's got a little snarl. So many things to like from a young kid, and I'm just happy. He was in a bad situation. Don't forget, he was in a bad situation, and Russia wasn't playing. This kid should be playing all the time. He should be learning every time he jumps out on the ice. And so good that he could come over, and he's going to get the coaching. He's going to get the direction that he needs and learn the North American game and all those things that we talk about. But I just personally, how fun is that to watch?
And he has not let the bright lights of his first NHL camp and the stars around him dim his personality at all.
Big smile when he came out to throw. What is he, first star? Was he second star? He was one of the stars, and he came out all fired up, threw his jersey in the stands, whooping it up with the crowd. I think he likes being around it.
He was, as it turned out. He was second star. But he was, in my mind, thinking about that, he was like a soccer player in Europe, ready to throw the jersey off.
Yeah, he was into it. And you should be. A young kid with all the hype that he's had to finally come over and to play and play so well. You know, it didn't look like he was in control all the time.
Yeah.
But he was kicking and making saves, and I just think he fed off that atmosphere. And I think, you know, you look at all the great goals. Pekka Rinne was like that, too.
Yes, he was
an athlete before he got dialed in. Like his last few years, his Vezina year, certainly, he was technically sound and retooled his game. But he was like that guy that was flopping all over the place and making these acrobatic saves. And so it's kind of fun to see that same thing. But he's got swagger, you know? Like, yeah. Think about all the good great goalies, Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur. They got swagger, and you need to have that if you want to have that success. I think he's got it in spades.
Yaroslav Askarov, one of the many fun to watch so far in Preds training camp. We'll take a break, come back, talk with General Manager David Poile, our second big guest on the show. You're listening to the Preds season preview here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Preds season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz here alongside Pete Weber and Hal Gill as Pete's favorite song plays.
Get me dancing, man. Get me dancing. Brass Bonanza. Mm-hmm.
The old Hartford Whaler anthem.
And there's a book coming out, going to be released November 1st, I think it is, called Bleeding Green, A History of the Hartford Whalers.
And you will have a pre-ordered copy, I'm sure.
It's ordered, yes.
We welcome in Preds General Manager David Poile. We had John Hines to start the show. Now David Poile here. And David, thanks so much for joining us. What's it been like for you over this last week to see your team all together with the new and re-signed pieces?
All good. It's the normal training camp for the first time in a long time. Really proud of all the players coming in good shape, good attitudes, working hard. Our coaches have set up some really good practices for training camp. I enjoyed the first two preseason games and learned a little bit more about some of the vets that we brought in, and also got to see, which I really want to see, some of our younger players. So we've got to make some decisions now as we get ready to go over to Bern. We got two more preseason games, and as you know, we're on a plane Friday night to over to Bern to open the season in Prague against San Jose. But very happy with training camp at this point and very optimistic about our team.
Is it any more difficult to make the decisions this year, David, that it has been for you in the past, or is this just regular routine for you?
No, I think every year it's hard. Maybe we make it hard on ourselves. I guess if you want to be critical, you could say maybe we over-evaluate some of our players, but we think we've got really good depth this year and really good competition. So, we've met every day. We met again this afternoon after after practice and trying to, you know, decide what 27 players that we want to take over to Switzerland. And, you know, we're certainly not unanimous. I'll tell you that for sure. And a lot of guys have kind of played their way into the thought process. And I guess we just haven't had enough time. Usually, you know, when you're making these decisions, you've played 6 preseason games, more scrimmages, more practices. And, you know, as John said, training camp is really 6 days shorter than everybody else because of, you know, when we open up the season. So I like what I see, but I think, in all honesty, we probably need more time to make the best decisions. And as I try to say to the coaches today, I mean, it's all very important. We start the season. We want to get off to a good start, which we will. But, you know, if we can somehow protect our assets, if you will, and, you know, we can make changes. And, you know, that's what we say to the players at the beginning of the year anyway, is that by their good play, maybe somebody's not playing as well, it could be injuries, that we're going to use a lot more than the 20 guys that, you know, start the season with us. So we're working at it. Now we're going to meet again tomorrow after practice to talk a little bit more. The coaches have got tentative lineups for the next two games. And all I know is we're getting on a plane at around 11 o'clock on Friday night, and there's only going to be 27 players on that flight. So we'll figure it out by then.
Does it almost make it easier because you have a shortened time to look at these players? And I, as a player, I would imagine I'd say, hey, listen, they just didn't get to see enough of me, so it's a tough decision. And I'm sure you're going to say that, but, you know, you're going to have a tough conversation with a kid who really deserves another look that's not going to get it because of that. And you know, do you almost reevaluate the way you look at the full season because of this Europe trip and how that affects the young guys?
Well, you're right. I would imagine when we have these meetings in the next 2 days that will be a line that I will use. And it's an honest line, is that we didn't get to see you enough. And I said that at the opening meeting. I said there may be a little lack of fairness here in some of our decisions that we make because of the shortness of training camp. But believe me, you're here because we really want you to be here. We want you to be successful. And every year that I've ever been here through, you know, the 82-game schedule, I mean, you know, you start with 20 players, but probably if you have a just a normal year, you're going to use 30 players at some point, just because, as I said earlier, you know, they're good play, injuries, that type of situation. So it's tough, but we'll have to make the decisions. And just repeating myself, but if we choose, you know, somebody over somebody else, we can come back to Nashville in, you know, October 10th, and we can make some changes. I mean, we've got enough guys that we can do that with. So I think it's a good problem. But, you know, first things first, we just have to decide who the 27 are, and then whatever we do, we live with that. And if we're not happy with that, we can make some changes. I think it will work out either way.
Do you ever use the old Tommy McVee line that was, hey, listen, kid, one of us is going to Milwaukee tomorrow, and one of us is going to Europe. that's a tough one. You don't do that these days, do you?
For the folks that don't know Tommy McVee, he was a great coach. Actually, he actually worked for me back in my days in Washington, Atlanta there, so I really like Tommy. But it's I'm sure there's some great things that when we have our as we'd say, tell a player that he's going to Milwaukee, and then we talk for 10 or 15 minutes. Oftentimes, all I think they remember is what my opening line is, you're going to Milwaukee, and they don't, you know, because I usually get a call from the agent, you sent my player down, but you didn't give any reason. I said, well, we talked to him for 15 minutes. And they said, all he heard is you're going to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
After that, they kind of go blank.
And that's understandable. But Tommy McVee, one of the greatest characters I've ever been around in my life.
Absolutely. And then, he's the only one that could get away with saying that, and it was come off as charming.
Yes, that's correct there, Hal. As charming, right? Right. So here you go, David, and you're making these. This is an accelerated camp, if you will, and you almost had a situation where you didn't know if you're going to be able to play 2 more games before heading across the river, the pond.
pond, the big pond.
Yeah,
yeah. There's been lots of things at training camp. Folks might know by now that we're going to have another preseason game tomorrow night against Tampa and play them Thursday and Friday instead of playing down there because of the hurricane. And I've had the TV on in our office pretty much all day long, and that's a scary situation. So really sorry for those people there, and prayers out for all them. But Tampa Bay moved basically their whole organization up here for 3 or 4 days, bringing players, families, and a lot of pets, I understand. So they'll be here and ready to go. So that'll be a good test for us in the next two games. It's nothing like playing against the Stanley Cup champion, Stanley Cup finalist. So I think we'll learn a lot more about our team.
Preds GM David Poile is our guest here on the season preview show. And David, you made a trade with those guys this summer. Tampa in a unique situation because of the salary cap. What's it like for you guys in the last week of June to know that Ryan McDonagh is going to have to be moved and that you're one of the few general managers that has room for him, a player that every team in the NHL would want?
Yeah, sometimes, as they say, it's good to be good, and oftentimes it's better to be lucky. And we were at the right place at the right time. I think there was a few options there for Ryan. I think Julien Brisebois, the general manager of Tampa, really treated Ryan well in terms of, letting him come to us versus maybe in a situation where, Tampa maybe could have got something for him in a different than what we gave up and maybe what Tampa wanted. And I think, for winning two cups and being a great player for them for all those years, I'm sure they wish they could have not traded him, but that's our good fortune. And again, I know Ryan a fair bit there from USA Hockey, and working with him in the past, a player that I would want on my team any day. And I'm just so happy that we have him here. Coaches have remarked that he's going to be a leader on our team. He's going to be a real strong influence on our younger players. And of course, the way he plays, the way he defends, is going to be a big plus for us. I think the first and immediate dividend hopefully will be on our penalty killing. If we get that improved just a little bit to go along with what we did on our power play last year, will really help us. So, there's hard to find any fault with McDonagh's game and the fact that he's won two Stanley Cups and he's the only guy in our organization that's won a Stanley Cup. I think that's going to mean a lot, and hopefully that will come playoff time for us.
David, you've made some changes through your staff. Actually, a lot of changes, but you've added a lot. You have a large support staff right around you. Of course, Scotty Nicol and Kelty. How has it been having that many people, that many voices? Obviously, you're looking for all the information that you can get, but how has it been to have all those guys around you? Of course, adding Pekka as well, you can't hurt to have him around, but a lot of changes, and how has it been so far?
No, I couldn't be more pleased with our hockey operations staff from top to bottom, and with the owners, allowing me to increase some of our staffing, not only in numbers, but I would like to think, and I do believe it's in quality. I think we've got a lot of things that maybe we were lacking before. This is not only in the management side with Ryan, Jeff, and Scott that do a wonderful job for me. Those are my go-to guys. Those are the guys I talk to multiple times a day, and we got all of the everything covered off from the contract side with Ryan to the Milwaukee development side with Scott to the scouting side with Jeff. I love our setup right now, and it's the best I've ever had as a general manager. And then we've added Sebastian Bortolo, former right. Predators player, who's been working in development to be a skills coach with our players, and I can tell you that the players are extremely excited about that, and it really frees up the full-time coaches, if you will, to concentrate more on game preparation, individual meetings, and that type of thing. And it also gives the players a break from the coaches,
yeah.
and that they're be doing other things other than systems or just not, and having some fun with Bordy and improving. And you mentioned Pekka Rinne. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, that's stuff that you dream about happening at your you know, the only player you've ever had to retire his jersey that he's coming back to, you know, actually, yeah, you know, do some things for you and work with you and things in the community. It's just couldn't be better. And, you know, we announced that at our opening meeting. I mean, players got to give him a standing ovation. So that's all pretty cool. Scouting, we've expanded in some areas that we weren't too deep in. We fired our first female scout in Rhonda Engelhart out of Minnesota. And, she joined us at the rookie camp and brought a lot of, new thoughts and opinions to our table. So I couldn't be happier with what we got going here in Nashville on all fronts. And I'm leaving out things like our strength and conditioning. David Good's only been one guy for a lot of years. We brought in Jason Norby from Milwaukee, and we're doing biometrics. Our analytics department is growing. So, we do a lot of stuff on mental training and wellness with Dr. Vicky Woosley. So it really feels like we're hitting on most fronts. I'm sure there's things we could do better, but I really like our organization and how it's all totally laid out right now.
GM David Poile is our guest here on the Preds Season Preview Show. We talked about Ryan McDonough, who you traded for before free agency opened. Then in free agency, the other headlining move was bringing in Nino Niederreiter, 2-year deal, a couple weeks into free agency. What about your search for a top six winger led you to Niederreiter, and what's it been like seeing him fit in as well as he has so far?
Well, we talked with Nino and his representative right at the get-go of free agency. He had a lot of suitors and demands and years and different things. So it wasn't for a while before we could kind of get back on track. I think the desire was always there and probably gave us the edge over every other club, starting with the fact that he and Roman Josi are best friends and played hockey growing up. The fact that we were looking for a top six forward, and in Carolina he was probably playing more on the third line. The fact that the possibility would be that he'd be playing with Ryan Johansson, who we played with in junior hockey. So there was a lot of things in our favor, and it just took a little while to get there. And I think we all know, in terms of the evaluation of our team, that we're maybe one forward short. We're counting on some of our younger guys to develop, but with a veteran presence like Nino, who's a solid player, 200-foot player, plays really, really good offensively and defensively, it's just another really good add to our team and should make our forward group a little bit better this year.
And another forward add, let's talk a little bit about Zach Sanford and how that came about.
Well, again, another player that, had been playing higher in lineups and has been had a couple of moves, being traded or what have you. And, again, he wasn't on our radar to start with because, again, I think he felt that maybe he could get more of a longer-term contract. And by just, talking to agents and staying in the game or what have you, he kind of fell on our lap, right near, not near the end of free agency, but after the big rush taking place the first few days. So a guy that, we feel can score a little bit. He can kill some penalties. He can play up and down the lineup. Got some good size. So just another guy that can really give us more depth than probably we've ever had before.
David, thanks so much for going through all these guys with us. It's been fun watching the team. Enjoy the trip to Bern and Prague, and we will talk to you as we get into the regular season.
Okay, guys. See you real soon. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, David.
That is Preds GM David Poile joining us here on the Preds Season Preview Show. More coming up next here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Preds Season Preview Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz with Pete Weber and Hal Gill, the Preds radio crew. Two more preseason games coming up tomorrow night and Friday night before the Preds take off for Europe. Exhibition game next Monday afternoon at 2 Nashville time, October 3rd, against Roman Josi's old friends in Bern. And then two regular season games next Friday, October 7th, and Saturday, October 8th. Both start at 1 o'clock, and all three of those games, including the exhibition, can be heard here on 102.5 The Game and also watched on Bally Sports. So a journey unlike any other in this franchise coming up immediately.
Yeah. I mean, the closest comparison is going to be that third season opening up in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And where the Predators were still in their, very much in their infancy. And so ESPN was doing the games, Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and They almost build it like the Harlem Globetrotters take on the Washington Generals.
No, this whole setup is fun. As a player, it's, you know, training camp can get monotonous. You know, you keep doing the same thing year after year, and you've had this core group of guys. They know each other, so it's nice to change it up every once in a while. I think if you do it every year, it becomes a lot. But to go out and do something different, play a game in Bern in a beautiful arena in a different atmosphere, and then go to Prague. I just think it's really cool what they're doing, and it's a great way to start a season.
And it's neat. The O2 Arena in Prague, that's created by the owners of the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an amazing arena. So, yeah, it's not like they're going out and playing in small barns out in the Alps.
We're not doing Hockeyville.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing exactly.
That. This is legit.
We talked to David Poile about some of the moves he made this summer. Brought in the three players we talked about, Ryan McDonough via trade, Nino Niederreiter, Zach Sanford, then Kevin Lankinen, a goalie, and a lot of two-way contracts as well with players with a lot of NHL experience. And the big fish stays here, Philip Forsberg. Preds were the only team that could offer him 8 years. They got him for 8 years and $68
million. Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal. You know what? It's a shame it took so long to get done, but I think, you know, there's a lot of people, just get it done. Come on, David.
Yeah,
just
what's
get
wrong?
It done.
You got it done now. Why couldn't you
come
done
on,
this two
Phil,
days ago?
Just take a hometown discount. You know, like everyone wants it. But that deal took a long time. And, you know, I think in the end, it sounds like they're both happy. Of course, Phil wants more money and David doesn't want to give him as much money. It's just that's the nature of the business. But it got done. And I think, you know, you look at the year he had last year and how he just he came alive, and I've seen that in him for a long time. Just anyone who's played with him, you can see it. You jump on the ice with him and he's so skilled and so strong. It's just a matter of time before it came around. And I think, you know, in working with John Hines, and I'll add Duchesne with it as well, they found their game, and they had great seasons because they were committed to playing the right way. So nice to have Phil locked up and be able to go out there and hopefully continue on that pace. You know, like I talked about, Roman Josi, a career year, like just blew his numbers out of the water. And I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. It wasn't like an outlier. It almost becomes the expectation. So now they're, you get the big deal, right, for Phil, and now you got to go and prove it. You know, that's going to be the challenge for those guys. Great years. Now you got to back it up. But it's also pretty exciting for Preds fans to have those guys around for a long time.
I'll never forget Phillip's first game, coming in as a very skinny, young kid. But he still had the wherewithal to move the puck. Very creative. And now the strength that he has added, those reverse hits of his, have become renowned around the NHL.
Well, I always used to laugh because I every Swede I played against, I don't know what it is about the Swedes, but they're lanky, and they don't look like they're that strong. But you try to knock them off the puck, and forget it. They're good on their edges, and Phil is like that. Even when he was a young 18-year-old coming over trying to figure it out, he's always been strong on the puck. And now you look at him. He's filled out. He's a big, strong kid, and he's even stronger on the ice. So those reverse hits, I expect a lot more of those. Because when he plays with that power game, that's when he's so good.
Pete, would you have ever believed from day one that there would be two Preds with over 40 goals in a season, 42 and 43 for Forsberg and Duchesne?
Well, no, I would not have. I mean, let's be fair about that. And I think the first guy that we thought about as a scorer was the guy who spent all his time in front of the net, and that was Patrick Hornqvist. And these guys are obviously far different players from Patrick Hornqvist. But Patrick, I'm not going to fault him for his effectiveness. He was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what the cool thing is Duchesne and Forsberg were really going back and forth trying to beat each other.
Yeah.
While they were playing with each other. And so it's, you know, I think – and I talked to him a couple times during the year, like, how's it going? Like, you know, like, because I really feel like they fed off each other, but They want to be the one that's shooting, you yes. know, and you know, if you start scoring goals, you want the puck, and that's just what good players do. And so you have two guys that are scoring goals, and but you only have one puck. And so I thought it was cool the way they challenged each other. They complimented each other, but at the same time, they had that little internal battle with each other to get the scoring title. And I think that's not always easy to handle. You're going to come back to the bench at times, and I've been on teams where, you know, the shooter is saying, "I need the puck, get me the puck," and you know, and you'll have arguments and healthy arguments, yeah. but arguments about who's going to be the shooter. And I think they balance that really well. And you know, you're on the power play. Which side are we going to work out of? I want it on this side. I want it on my side. You know, so I thought they worked that, and it would be interesting to see how they continue that. With a couple different pieces in there and how they play the top lines, John Hines has some decisions to make and how he's going to go with it, with Johansson, Granlund being centers that no doubt everyone would love to play with either one of those guys. Are they going to stick together? Is Johansson, Duchesne going to stick together? There's a lot of, you know, with Niederreiter added in, yes. you know, you're looking at different situations. What young guy is going to step up there and fill in that last spot in the top six? Is a lot of decisions that need to be made, but it's tough to go wrong when you have those two guys firing the way they did last year, if they can continue that.
43 goals for Duchesne, 42 for Forsberg last year, and how we will talk about just that coming up next. Take a look at the Preds roster, top to bottom, who fits where and who we're excited about. You're listening to the Season Preview Show, talking Preds hockey, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Getting you ready for the 2022-2023 Preds season here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I'm Max Herz with Pete Weber and Hal Gill. Had John Hines and David Poile on the show with us in the first hour. Those interviews will be uploaded later tonight on the Game Nashville podcast page if you missed them. Great talking with the coach and the GM. Two preseason games in the books, two more to go, then the Europe trip coming up next week before the entire NHL season gets started with the Preds and the Sharks next Friday. Let's take a look at the roster. A lot of big names back for the Preds. Certainly a lot of competition as well. Oh. And you mentioned those top lines, Hal. Last year, the line so much of the time was Matt Duchesne and Philip Forsberg on the wings and Mikhail Granlund in the middle. That's got to be where you start it, but will they try some other things, you think? Is that bona fide line number one? And it's fun to have options, too.
Yeah, well, I look at it, you bring a different level. You know, you look at what Granlund did for so long, just fighting, battling for pucks, keeping plays alive in the offensive zone. You know, he's a guy that can grind a team down. Johansson is a little bit more of a playmaker. He's going to, you know, he's got a big body in front of the net. There's different looks that you can have, you know. When you talk about Forsberg and Duchesne, hey, what a 1-2 punch you could have. You split those guys up, but you have a huge, you know, that's your big right hook if you throw them together. You know, there's a lot of ways you can play that. And I think John Hines has kind of balanced that as the season went on. Let's move him. Let's change him up. Let's move him around a little bit. But he knows he's always got that. I always look at, you know, in what Pittsburgh does, you have Crosby and you have Malkin, and similar to Dreisaitl and McDavid, and they'll play on different lines. But as soon as, you know, with Dreisaitl and McDavid, a lot of the time last year, they were coming out as soon as a penalty kill was over, they'd come out and they'd be the next shift. So you build momentum from those guys.
Right.
You put them together and you get a big burst. And, you know, maybe you take advantage of line matchups. You send those guys over the boards together, but it's not a consistent thing. So you don't game plan to have one line to stop. You game plan to have two lines to stop, and then all of a sudden, okay, what do you do when they get together? And so I think there's some good battles that John Hines can set up if he mixes and matches. But I think the big question mark for me is the second line, and who do you have as the second line? And that's going to be the real challenge. Assuming you do have Duchesne and Forsberg together,
yeah.
What does your second line look like?
And then the great third line, the beast line.
And all year I'm looking at it going, oh, Yakov Trenin deserves to be up. He's playing so great right now. He deserves to play up. But Tanner Jeannot, he should certainly be on the top six position. He's just come on the scene, and and not just the physical aspect, but his ability to dictate on the forecheck, to get in on pucks, to make the hard net drive. Does that create more space if he's playing with a Duchesne or a Forsberg? There's something to be said for that. But there's no doubt that that line, when they're out together with Colton Sissons, is absolutely game changer. And to have that as your third line, you know, I look at that as a momentum changer. If not getting goals, you're changing momentum. You're saying this game is going our way, and there's a reason why they start a lot of games, because they're going to get in, dictate the way the game is going to be played, heavy on the forecheck, go in there, work hard, and create scoring chances through the forecheck. So, you know, I was looking for it to be changed. Of course, the first game out there in preseason, they're right with each other. And it's like with that golden ticket that John Hines doesn't want to give up, and he's got to keep those guys together. It's
hard to blame him.
No, it's always there for you, but you know, it'll be interesting to see throughout the season if that does change.
Where does the addition of Nino Niederreiter change things in the top six and potentially help those other guys?
Well, that's the wild card. That's what I'm waiting to see. And, you know, I kind of have it in my head that he would – for some reason, I have it in my head that Granlund might fit in with them, but with Niederreiter. I think a lot depends on who you have on the other side. You know, that you're going to get looks from different guys. I would imagine Elli Tolvanen, I think has certainly played the right way. The scoring touch hasn't been there, but wouldn't it be something if Elli Tolvanen got that scoring touch back to complement the fact that he's gone out there? He hits, he works hard, he's in on the forecheck, he's gotten a lot better defensively. If he adds that scoring touch, that makes a really good second line with Niederreiter, Granlund, or Johansson and Tolvanen. You know, but there's Tomasino is right there as well. You know, a guy like Cody Glass, is he the guy that maybe you move him out to the outside? Is he a fourth line center? There's just a lot of ways you can put it, but I think those guys will all get a look and a chance to prove themselves. Young kids coming in, it's hard to play in the NHL, and it takes some time to adjust to it. And I think more importantly, it takes time to get confidence. And if you're a goal scorer, you need confidence. You need to feel comfortable on the ice. And once you're comfortable, then you start to build it and you add to your game. And that's where your confidence comes in. And so, I don't know. You tell me, how does that second line play out for you guys?
I'm wondering if Cody Glass, and I'm not saying necessarily for the second line, but I'm wondering if he could be comfortable on a wing.
Well, that's the one of the things you look at. I think Elli Tolvanen has to get a shot there. Tomasino has to get a shot. But, you know, it's up there for the taking. Who wants to jump on it and grab it? It's a tough league. And if you're on a second line, you got to put up numbers. You can't just play well.
Right.
You got to put up numbers, you know, and I always marveled at guys that could put up numbers consistently, because it's not always going your way.
No.
And it's hard to score goals. And, you know, if it's not going your way, your shot's a little off, your confidence is a little down, you still got to find a way to put up numbers. And that's the hard part about playing in your, you know, second or third year, when expectations start coming around. Then that's when you really tell what a guy's made of and whether they can step up and be that guy.
What did Tomasino show you just over the course of last season about a potential fit in a variety of different roles?
Well, for me, I saw a little more speed on the entries. I saw a little more, and I hate it when coaches break it down, but it is true. He's got to play with more pace. It's always the easy out for a coach to say he's got to go to Milwaukee and get a little more pace. And I think you saw that with Cody Glass, certainly, when he came back up from Milwaukee. He played with a lot more pace, and he was moving. I think we saw that a little bit with Tomasino, where he was driving the net. He got a ton of chances last year, right?
Yes, he did.
He didn't bury it. And you're looking at it going, okay, if he's getting chances, that means he's playing the right way. Now, you know, as I said, the NHL scoring has to come around and complement all the chances that you're getting. You've eventually got to finish. And I think we saw that from Tomasino. You know, it was tough jumping into playoff hockey against Colorado, where you say, okay, we're going to find out what these kids are made of, and you're playing against a juggernaut in Colorado. But before that, I think they showed splashes, and that's why they got looks in the playoffs, is because guys like Tomasino and Tolvanen started to show those speed bursts and fitting in behind. Tomasino was fantastic, I thought, in sneaking behind the D. And you do that once or twice a game, and you score 50% of them, all of a sudden you're having a great year. And, he had a hard time putting it in, and he had breakaways and all these great looks at the net. He just wasn't finishing. So
Right. If
you can count on him finishing, I think you're going to go, okay, all right, this kid belongs now. But it was there. It was there.
Yeah, we saw those indications. Yep.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth line, whichever of the guys we mentioned does not play in the top six will have chances there, of course. And then also Michael McCarron and new guys in Zach Sanford, John Leonard, and a lot of options who have played well in camp as well. Juuso Parsonen and Tommy Novak and Cole Smith and others who have played in the NHL before for the Preds. A lot of options there, and I think that's where the roster being bigger going to Europe could help.
Yeah, I think Novak. I love his passing ability.
Yeah. He's got that. He looks like the bubble hockey player,
yes,
right?
Yes, he does.
Spins
yeah.
around. You think he's going to make a play one way, and then he spins around the other way and lets a shot go or lets a pass go. I think he's, and there's some big kids out there, like
Yes. Big
bodies. I think the way the game is going, you look at trends throughout the NHL. And you had, the fast Pittsburgh Penguins. They were a fast, smaller team, but fast. And then you looked at last year, there was a lot of big bodies. You looked at Florida, a big team. Carolina, certainly, we played against them a couple of years ago. And
seems like we played them 30 times.
Yeah, exactly. But big bodies and a hard-nosed game with a lot of skill.
Yeah.
It's not just being big and dumb. Like I was, there's a lot of skill in their game, and so I think that's the way the game is going. And you look at McCarron, I think he's made a he's done some good things, killing penalties and being that guy, that go-to guy on the penalty kill. I think you can rely on him. So, you're not just looking at guys that can score goals. You need guys to kill penalties. You need guys to play against bigger lines. And so a lot of decisions have to be made, but I think there's a lot of depth, a lot of young guys that are going to make a push, whether it's in Milwaukee at the beginning of the year. Don't forget, you're trying to build for the playoffs. You're trying to build a team, and maybe you let a guy get a little more confidence and play in Milwaukee. It's not a long way to come back up and play, and there's going to be injuries. There's going to be other chances. So, I think you'll see a lot of these guys in NHL action this season.
How much better is it for a team when you can really split things up? Guys that are on the penalty kill don't play the power play, so they don't get too much of a burden placed on any one group of people.
Well, there's certain guys that you want to play all the time,
right?
You just want them on the ice.
Roman on there 60 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to the D later, but it's good to have him take a break, and if you're going to kill penalties, you're going to block shots. If you're going to block shots, you're going to get bumps and bruises, broken bones. It's not an easy job, and so you want these guys to go out there. And talking to John Hines and David Poile, they're really happy with the way that Milwaukee has groomed players to play the right way, to come up and contribute in all areas, including penalty killing. And, you see a lot of guys killing penalties that, you know, maybe aren't the best players, but they kill penalties really well, and those are big minutes, you know, and especially the way the Preds have played a physical, hard game. Yes. They want to go in on the forecheck and take a run at a guy. Sometimes you're going to take a penalty. You're going to have to kill that penalty. And so I think that's something that the Preds have learned. You know, they don't want to have all the penalties,
right,
but they want to learn to deal with that. And I think McDonough coming in is a big part of that, where you're going to have him killing penalty. Maybe, and as David Poile said, you know, help the penalty kill percentage go up and try to get more kills so they can play that aggressive game.
Something that we have not really brought up yet tonight, but I'm thinking, because of the experience we had with him around Christmas time last year, Milwaukee coach Carl Taylor.
Yeah.
What he is
he's done a great job.
Was able to do.
A phenomenal job. And I think just a matter of time before he gets a look as a head coach in the NHL, just by the way he's taken these players that and taught them the game the right way. And they're working together. So it's a lot of the same systems. And so with a young team that in Milwaukee that you're looking at, guys, it's not just, hey, we're trying to win championships in Milwaukee. You're trying to develop a team that can help Nashville in Milwaukee, and I think Carl's done a great job with that.
So those are your forwards. We'll come back, talk about the Preds' bolstered defense group with Ryan McDonough in there. Really strong returning group as well. You're listening to the Preds Season Preview Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Talking Preds hockey here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz alongside Pete Weber and Hal Gill, Preds Radio Season Preview.
Are we going back to the future?
Jared Cassidy producing for us tonight.
Who chose this? Is you, Jared?
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat it.
Flux capacitors and everything.
We talked forwards in the first segment of the second hour of the show. We'll go all the way to 8 o'clock tonight. Talk to David Poile and John Hines to get things started. Robbie Stanley is after us with Preds Insiders as well to keep the hockey talk going.
When does he sleep?
Never.
Okay.
6 to 10 a.m. is the Robbie Stanley shift on his 30th birthday today, too.
Yeah. He probably feels 35 after that.
That's big. That's a big one.
Let's talk about the defensemen on this Preds team. Bring back 6 from the NHL roster last year. Add Ryan McDonough. Hal, what are your initial impressions of your old position group and where McDonough fits in?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I did want to ask David Poile about the thought process of having Ekholm move over to the right side. I think that's just a logical place. You know, if Ekki's okay playing on the right, I want to, you know, they talked about it, but I wonder how much depth they went into making that decision, because, you know, you have McDonough who likes to play the left, and you have Ekholm moving over to the right. You know, that's the interesting dynamic that I'm waiting to see more of. And I thought they looked good, but it's a preseason game. Preseason game. It's hard to really dictate how that's going to go. They're going to play big minutes against the top lines and across the NHL, no doubt. And, you know, I think you were on with Chris Mason a couple days ago during the game. He brought up a great point that Ekholm is an offensive player. He does play a shutdown D role, but he can be more offensive with McDonough back there covering him. They can kind of complement each other. And I did see McDonough already. His confidence to cut down plays, to snuff out plays up in the rush, not just backing in and playing it safe. His ability to read a play and snuff it out before it even starts is pretty impressive. So those guys together, I think that sets up for a really good shutdown D pair, and then it frees up Roman Josi to go do Roman Josi things, you know. And
which are unique.
After that, then where we got to talk about where everyone else falls into place. I mean, that's the big one. If you're going to go with McDonough and Ekholm, and play that experiment, which I think so far looks so good, where do you fit everyone else in?
And now a healthy season for Jeremy Lauzon, who was a midseason acquisition a year ago.
Yeah. And Dante Fabbro had some injuries and had some ups and downs, came in playing great, tried to raise his game. he's doing that young defenseman. How much do I have to keep it simple? How much do I need to add to it? Alex Carrier, who, I mean, impresses me every time. He looked great in the preseason scrimmage as well. You know, I think Roman Josi fits in well with either one of those guys. I do think Carrier is the guy that would probably play with him, but we'll see how that goes. And then after that, you have Fabro and Lazon. Don't forget, Borowiecki looked really good.
He was on it.
And, you know, I think Boro would be okay playing, you know, maybe not a full card of games coming in when they need him. Spotting him in against a physical team, he can go in and do his job. I don't think they should look at him doing what the job he did last year. He was a maniac. He was fighting everyone, and and that's a tough task. I don't think we're going to see that season again, but it's always nice to have Boro in your back pocket and ready to go. And when he did play with Lazon, they played really well. You know, I think Boro compliments everyone, to be honest with you, just because he's a steady, you know where he's going to be, and you know he's going to be physical.
What do you make, Hal, of the challenges and just what it takes to play with Roman Josi? Alex Carrier and Dante Fabro have both done it.
Yeah. Yeah. And both done a great job. And I talked a little bit with Dante Fabro about it last year. You know, the natural tendency is to get the puck to Yost. And yeah, that's always a great play. When I played as a young kid, my partner was Ray Bourque, and my job was to get it to Ray Bourque. But as a young player, you want to be more, these guys want to play an offensive role. They want to contribute. And so if you're just giving it to Yost all the time, as great as that is, you're not contributing the way these guys want to contribute to the offensive side. So Fabro talked about it. You just can't just send it over to him all the time. You got to make the play. You got to, you know, if it's the first pass getting into a forward's hand or beating that first forechecker, making a play and hitting the second level of the breakout, either way, these guys want to go out there and contribute that way. So, and I think it does. If you can beat that first forechecker, now you're getting it to a forward. A forward is attacking the zone with Roman Josi joining the play. That's scary. As a defenseman, if I'm watching a forward come down and I know Roman Yossi's coming right behind him, how do I gap up? How do I go and play Matt Duchene, who's a threat on his own, or Philip Forsberg, and know that if I gap up too much, all he has to do is bump it off to Roman Josi, who's coming up 1,000 miles an hour. How do I play that? And so I think if you use the forwards and get it up to the forwards' hands, like Carrier can do, like Fabro can do, I think you're going to see Roman Josi work on a different level. And they did that a lot last year. I think that was a point of emphasis that John Hines had is, Roman, we don't need you to carry it all the way up the ice. We need you to get it to the forwards and then complement the rush.
Add yourself in later. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Just move it up there. Move it up there and get things going on the right end of the rink.
And that's ultimately what this D-Core is built to do. I think Fabro has that ability to be elusive on the breakout and make that play, and Carrier does too. Lazon is a little more simple. Borowiecki is a little more simple. You're going to see them hit the first pass. They're not going to try to overcomplicate it, and you need those guys, you know. I think that's the big thing. What will be interesting is how they special teams, how they play that, because Boro, Lazon, they've done a great job. Fabro has killed a lot of penalties. I don't think they want Roman Josi out there killing penalties. That's when he should be breaking, because a lot of times he's playing both power play units.
Yes.
And so, you know, you need to give him a break when you can. McDonough is going to be huge on the penalty kill, and I've admired him since he came in the league. You know, he was playing in New York, and Girardi and McDonough, they're so good. They know how to play the right way. They know how to block shots. Like McDonough, he might deter a lot of shots.
Yes.
Just because he's right in the right spot. And you know, David Poile talked about it, the positioning and the way he approaches the game. You know, McDonough gets it, and he did it a lot in that preseason game where he just snuffed out plays. You know, he's just right in the right spot, and you don't need to be a great skater when you're in the right spot, but he is a great skater. So when he gets to the right spot, we're going to transition fast with him out there. And I think that's the exciting part about McDonough, is that his ability to play solid defense and transition into offense.
Well, anybody from that Rangers era that you were referring to there knew how to block a shot.
They were blocking shots, and they were doing it well and smart.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were just diving all over the place. You know, it's I always said, if I can yell at a guy and say, I'm here, you can't shoot, and he doesn't shoot, then that's just as good as a block shot.
Yep.
When you're right in the front of their face, which McDonough is more often than not, he's right on top of it. I think that's the next level you're looking for, not just going out there and blocking shots with your face.
So 7 established NHL defensemen the Preds feel really good about, plus also in camp with NHL experience, new to the organization, Kevin Gravel, Jordan Gross, and then some other prospects as well, Mark Delgazzo, Spencer Stastny, Adam Wilsby, Luke Prokop. A lot of fun names to watch on the back end.
Yeah, Spencer Stastny had that quick little wrister off the crossbar. Pretty impressive. Delgazzo, he was all over the place.
Yes, he was.
He was jumping up, hitting guys, played a physical, hard game. Not a huge body. He's a little guy, 5'10", right?
Yeah.
But he was playing a physical, hard game. So, you know, something to think about with what you're looking for. What do you have down the road, and what's ready to come up if you need it?
And Mark Delgazzo, Preds prospect, grew up in New Jersey, big Ranger fan. His favorite player, Ryan McDonough.
Jersey boy. Yeah, of course.
They're in camp together now. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the goalies, look at the Preds schedule as well. You're listening to the Nashville Predators Radio Season Preview Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Back on the Preds Season Preview Show, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, your radio home for Preds hockey. My name's Max Herz, alongside the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, and the great Hal Gill, who you will be seeing on TV and hearing on radio this year.
The mediocre at best, Hal Gill.
Well, we still have a good discussion coming up about number 75, I think.
Should we hang the banners?
You know what? You know how I ended up with number 75? Because I went into the training camp, and they're like, okay, kid, just wear this number until we send you down. And then I kept it, you know?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. As you know, it just wasn't by choice. And then later on, I was like,
attached to it.
Yeah, give it to me. That's my number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about the forwards. We talked about the D. Now let's talk about the goalies. And these are guys that we've talked about a lot tonight already.
That's deep. I saw someone today said we have a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, and maybe a 1E after the scrimmages, which is saying a lot. It was pretty impressive.
UC Saros, an unbelievable year last year. Connor Ingram, some great moments in the playoffs. Kevin Lankinen comes in on a one-way NHL contract. 1 year, $1.5 million in free agency. You expect to see two of those guys start the season in the NHL. Then three guys who are very much prospects in Devin Cooley, who's been great in Milwaukee. Tomas Vomáška, who's been in the organization for a few years now. And then perhaps the biggest name of all, Yaroslav Askarov, who we've had so much fun watching in small samples.
Boy, I had a lot of fun and have had a lot of fun watching him in camp.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, Askarov comes in. They didn't, obviously, the Preds don't need a goalie.
No.
But when he was available in the draft, you got to take him. He's that good. He's got that bright of a future. You have to take him. So the question for me is, I think, and this is the way I break it down, and I might be wrong because sometimes I'm wrong. I know. Well, I was wrong once. I thought I wasn't right. It turned out I was. But, the way I see it, you have juice. I don't know what's the game load that they're going to give him.
Yeah.
You know, do they want to rest him up a little bit more? I know he wants to play. He's shown that he can handle that, but how much better could he be if he gets a little bit more rest? That becomes a question for me. But I think Lankinen, you can throw out there and have – first of all, Lankinen has a great – you know, he knows juice. They grew up together. They've been around each other. and I think they have a great relationship that's going to be easy for them to balance throughout the year. I think Lincoln is more than capable of taking, you know, whatever it is, 20, 25 games. I think that's an easy ask for him. The question for me is down the road, you know, you have Ingram, who's like you said, he had that game in the playoffs. It was outstanding. And he's shown that he can play, and he play well. He's going to be in Milwaukee, wants to play a lot of games, but you have Askarov right next to him who you want to play a lot of games. So how do they handle that load in Milwaukee and how much those guys play? That's going to be the tricky part for me. And not to, you know, Cooley looked great.
Yes, he did.
You know, I think there's other goalies. That's the way the NHL is now. There's so many, you know, it's not the old days where you have a backup that just sits there and like, yeah, you got to rough out some losses when he gets in. You need a 1A, 1B, and I think Lankinen offers that just down the road. How do you figure that out in Milwaukee? That's my question.
And not easy to answer.
That's why they have Pekka-Rinne here to handle that.
Yes.
What's it been like for you, Hal, to see your former teammate Pekka out there?
You know what? At first, I was like, okay, what's the angle here? You know, like, is this just hey, if you want to come back, we'll give you a job. And it's just a figurehead. And, hey, he's involved with the organization, which would be awesome, right? Don't get me wrong. It would be awesome. And then I turn around, and he's on the ice, and he's doing drills, and he's working with guys. And talking to him, he's excited about it.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just here to collect a paycheck and hang out and, hey, I'll come in and wave whenever you want. What do you need? He's here to work and to be involved in it. I think as a retired guy, you want to be involved. You want to be around the game. And, you know, he did coach the Finns in the World Juniors, right? He got his feet wet with that,
right?
And helped out there. And I think he just wants to be around the game, be around the guys, and maybe in a different role, obviously. But I still think, how great is that for Juice to have Dad back?
That's right.
With him.
Hey,
and
Dad.
And helping him out. And if he needs something, and I think that would happen anyway, where he'd just call him and talk to him. But to have him actually involved, and not to mention the other side of it is why wouldn't he have a spot? You want to keep Pekka-Rinne around, just the person that he is, the effect that he has on people that he's around, a great competitor that has always got a big smile, and just any chance you have to have Pekka involved in your organization, why wouldn't you have him?
And that's a rhetorical question. You come right down to it there. The answer is easy.
And we just talked about a bunch of goalies that we've got to figure out. So
that's right.
All hands on deck with that one.
He has great, great insights right there.
Rinne is a special alumni advisor, and how you're on record saying that you're special. You're a Preds alumni, so he's here to advise you, and I couldn't agree more.
It's exactly right. I'm an alumni, and I am so special.
Wouldn't you like to
everyone,
be a Dr. Pepper, too?
Growing up, everyone said that to me. I'm special. I knew I was special right from the moment I was born.
And we continue to affirm it for you yes. At this stage of life.
I am special.
But awesome to have Pekka around, and that's part of what David Poile was talking about. They have a deeper group than ever in all areas of hockey coaching, development, and operations.
That's the way the NHL has gone, right? We talked to David Poile, and he said he could have gone on for a long time just talking about how they've added, you know, different roles to the mental game with Vicky Woosley. Like that, and players have talked about that means a lot. You
yes.
talk about Bordalo going working with the skills
right skills
position,
coach.
You know that means a lot. Like all these little pieces aren't just figureheads. They aren't just you know, going there trying to make it look like you have a whole staff. They're all serving a purpose, and I think it pays off down the road, and it pays off sometimes immediately when you see, like Matt Duchene has talked about Vicky Woosley and the effect that she had on his game and how he's
– Boro has too.
And Boro has talked about that, all he's gone through. That's important pieces, and sometimes it's overlooked. Like the strength coach, you know, you add more different faces and different opinions, and you put them all together and you get the best product.
We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the show, looking at the Preds' schedule, talking about Hal Gill's jersey number more perhaps, and taking some texts as well. Feel free to shoot us a text on our text line, 615-737-1025. We'll take a look and see what you've been saying all night long. Hal Gill, Pete Weber, Max Harris here, previewing the Preds' 22-23 season here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Final segment of the Predator season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, also streaming on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. I want to say thanks to our producer, Jared Cassidy, for running the show tonight. He will be producing many of the games this year as well. My name's Max Herz, back alongside Pete Weber and Hal Gill, Preds radio broadcast booth. And to finish things up tonight, we will take a look at the Preds schedule, which Pete has printed out in front of him on a quite large piece of paper.
Well, it's for my vision.
His best color ink. Take a look at that roadmap ahead, Pete.
Yeah.
What all stands out to you?
Well, one big thing that does stand out, just sort of leaped off the page at me, was we're going back, a little bit in time in the NHL. Seattle is going to come to town once this year and play two games, a Thursday, Saturday in late March, to try to economize a little bit. And that first happened early 80s with Winnipeg, maybe playing Tuesday, Thursday someplace, Thursday, Saturday, another, and in particular when you went up to Winnipeg. But the thing that really strikes me here on this schedule overall, if you want to see the team in March, you better be quick about it. There's the trip. Here's an interesting trip, Al. Florida, Chicago, Vancouver, Arizona, Kings, Anaheim.
Bags will be chucked continent-wide in those 2 weeks.
Well, see, this is what I do. The first time I see it, I go, okay, where are the spots? You know, where's Montreal? Where's Vancouver? how can we, what's the best angle? Where's our long road trip? Do we get any time on the beach in L.A.? And then you look through. The big thing is, and you tell me, Pete, I how many back-to-backs we have? We had a ton of back-to-backs last year.
But the record, I think, for the franchise was 19.
Yeah, something crazy. And I didn't see a lot of back-to-backs.
No,
which is, as a player, that would be what I would look for is, okay, when are we going to take a beating and have to play all these?
And some of that's because of the Prague trip. The Preds will have their home opener on a night when other teams are also getting started.
Yeah, that's right. So, any way you slice it in the NHL, especially in the West, it's tough. And a lot of people don't realize that.
No, they don't.
And I've played in the East for majority of my career, and more often than not, you're in your own bed by 12:30. If you play in Boston and you fly from Buffalo, New York, Islanders, New Jersey, Philadelphia, you're home by 12:30.
Yes,
and it's easy. For Nashville, it can be a haul. You know, you have that Colorado game that you say it's Colorado isn't that far. It's far. Arizona is far.
Especially when you add in the trip from the Denver airport
exactly
to downtown.
Exactly. If you go to Edmonton, you have to go forever to get to the airport.
Yes.
But all those things add up. So you're when you go through the schedule, you look I think that Seattle, Vancouver. You're actually staying in one spot for a while, right?
For
the most part, that trip. So you can bang out a couple teams. L.A., Anaheim is always nice where you can stay in one spot and kind of bang out a couple teams that way. That's the challenge. There's, you look through the division and, you say there's going to be some tough games.
Yes.
I mean, the Preds are in a tough division, so it's a challenge.
And where the Predators take their normal midwinter trip, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, that's 3 games in 4 nights.
Yeah. But that's not, in the end, that's not too bad. The travel between those places, you can take a bus. But it's not that hard. Ottawa to Montreal is a quick jump. But, for the most part, I don't think it's an overly taxing schedule this year, but certainly is not going to be easy. There's some good teams out there, and it's the NHL is a pretty tough league.
It's unfair. They made it tough.
And everyone's got their teams to play against. Colorado is still going to be tough. St. Louis, Minnesota. There's going to be, you know, Chicago. What do we expect out of them?
No idea.
Arizona, who knows what to expect out of them. But Dallas is going to be another tough one. You know, it's not an easy division.
And Dallas at home, and then Dallas on the road.
Yeah, that's you look at it right away. It starts off, obviously, San Jose, the back-to-back. You know, you're jumping into Dallas right away. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Home opener is Thursday night, October 13th at 7:30 against the Stars. That game has been moved back a half an hour to be on ESPN+. So Stars will be in here for the home opener. That's the first game back from Europe. At Dallas that Saturday, then the first Saturday night in Smashville is October 22nd, 9 days after that first home game. There's also a Tuesday night home game against the Kings that week. Saturday, October 22nd against the Flyers, starts a three-game homestand, Flyers, Blues, Capitals. So three marquee opponents coming in that opening month of October right there before a Western Canada road trip.
And that is a Western Canada road trip.
Well, you know what the good thing about this schedule, and I think it's on purpose, you know, you play the back-to-back in Europe, you're going to get back, your body's going to be all funky from the 8th, which is the last of the back-to-back, and you don't play to a home game on the 13th. So these guys are going to have some time to kind of rest their bodies, see their families, take a break before they get back to work. And overall, October is a lighter schedule. Really, it's, you know, two and three games a week. So I think that plays out, that this European trip isn't going to send them back too much.
And a 2.5-week stretch around Thanksgiving where 8 of 9 games are all at home.
Yeah.
Rangers, Wild, Islanders, Lightning, Coyotes, Avs, Jackets, and Ducks will all be here, including back-to-back games on Black Friday and the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. The Avs at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Black Friday, and then the Blue Jackets that Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun to take up residence in Smashville those few weeks.
And what a great excuse not to go shopping.
Shopping? Does anyone go shopping? You just talked about Black Friday.
Yeah.
No one shops anymore.
They go onto their computer.
Get on your computer.
Yeah.
just bite the bullet.
And I'm surprised how, when you were going through the road trips that caught your eye, you didn't mention New Year's Eve in Vegas at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's what we're still waiting for, the official flight schedule to come out. Is that one of those where we stay over?
Could be.
That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Someone might have to send out an APB for me.
Especially for, they recently engaged Nick Baranowski.
Is there anything to do in Vegas? Can you have fun in Vegas?
I've been told. Yeah, I've been told.
The season will end at home on Thursday night, April 13th. Again, we are finally back to the normal calendar.
That's nice.
Well, it's still it's a little bit off, right?
Yeah.
I think it's, that's maybe 5 days later.
Yeah.
We can handle that. Yeah, it's nice to have a normal schedule. I know as a player, you rely on, you know, as August comes around, I got to dial in, you know, season's coming up. And, you know, you kind of get into a normal swing of things. I think that's huge for guys to have a normal summer, somewhat normal summer, and then right into a camp, which is a little bit different with this European trip, but nevertheless, it's back to somewhat normal.
I let nevertheless go there.
Yeah, nevertheless.
All right, gentlemen, a couple more minutes left. Any parting thoughts?
I'm just glad that we are getting back to things that are at least approaching normalcy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, you know, I do have some excitement about this team because I feel like last year was what did we change? It was competitive rebuild became competitive transition.
Yes.
And I think, you know, there was steady hands at the wheel. Mm-hmm. It wasn't knee-jerk reactions. They made some changes. They rebuilt this team, and David Poyle, you know, had some success with a good team that battled every night. I think last year this team was a lot of fun to watch, and I think
they were.
They're just getting better this year. I think Niederreiter is someone that adds to that second line need. I think it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. McDonough, of course, adds to another need on defense. And so I think this is going to be an exciting year. But they have that mentality that they're going to compete every night. And John Hines, especially, he hasn't had any real normal.
No, nothing.
I mean, he came into a disaster, and he's stuck through a couple of years of ongoing disaster, broken training camps. And so now, even though this isn't a normal training camp, he got his systems in. Guys know what they're talking about. And I think he's going to be hitting the ground running when they go over to play San Jose in Prague.
Should be a lot of fun. Regular season opener Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock Nashville time. What time is that in Bern, Pete? Is that 8?
8, yeah.
8 o'clock, or Prague, I should say.
Yes.
8 Prague. O'clock Prague time in the Czech Republic. Preds and Sharks, Friday, October 7th, Saturday, October 8th. 1 o'clock Nashville time. We'll be on the air at noon here on 102.5 The Game, and Pete will have the call from the other side of the Atlantic.
The other side, yes.
The literal other side.
Yeah.
We have two more preseason games tomorrow night and Friday night, both in Smashville. Tomorrow night's road game in Tampa moved to Nashville because of weather. We'll be on the air at 6 for that one for a 7 o'clock puck drop, then 4:30 pregame Friday before 5 o'clock puck drop. Thanks so much to everyone who contributed to our show tonight. Producer Jared Cassidy, Preds head coach John Hines, who joined us, Preds GM David Poyle, who joined us, everybody on the Preds PR staff who set those interviews up. And we look forward to a great season of hockey coverage here on your flagship home for the Preds. Pete Weber, the voice of the Preds, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hal Gill should retire his number.
Here we go.
Everyone in this room thinks so.
Here we go. Cheers.
And this room.
Jared agrees.
Bleed green.
Jared Cassidy, our producer. I'm Max Herz. Thanks so much for joining us on the Preds Season Preview Show here on your home for Preds Hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.